All right. Let's get this out of the way first. The thoughts, views, and opinions expressed on Tailboard Talks Firefighter Podcast are solely those of the speakers, guests, and host, and do not in any way represent the thoughts or views or opinions of any other employer, partnership, or sponsor. The material and information in this podcast is for general information purposes only and should be used at the listener's discretion. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Tailboard Talks Firefighter Podcast. My name is Chris from Fourth Shift Firefighter. Welcome back to the studio. Solo episode today. It's going to be a relatively quick one. What a busy couple weeks. Lots going on, man. So the way this thing goes is on days when I have to work Thursday, I get Monday and Tuesday, or I get Tuesday and Wednesday to record, whatever. You guys know the schedule. But these days have just been so full. I got a lot of stuff going on, which is pretty cool. But it makes planning these and recording them more difficult. The good thing is I got you guys to rely on. You provide me with these awesome speaking topics and questions that I can fall back on when life gets lifey over here. I'm training for a 77-mile gravel ride. It's a race technically, but I'll just be riding in August. If you remember, I did a 63-mile one in winter. It was called the Winter Endurance, and it was down in Nebraska. Lincoln, Nebraska, incredible event. It was 20 degrees at the start, 7 to 9% grade, over 63 miles of that, 15 to 25 mile per hour headwinds. It was really just a great time. It took me a long time, and I struggled. So I signed up to do this summer one, and it promises to be pretty much the opposite in terms of conditions. It's going to be like 100, but same crazy terrain. Same rough inclines, repeat or hill repeats for about 6 hours, and it's going to be 77 miles this time. So I've been spending a lot of time training for that, which takes up a bulk of the midday when I typically record. And then we're getting ready for our first big camper trip. We're going down to Florida in a couple weeks, and as I say that, it's actually a couple days. It's like 6 or 7 days away, so we better start getting ready for that. But going down with a camper, taking another family with us for a bunch of days at the beach down in Florida. So that's a big trip. We're getting ready for that. All that to say is that I desperately appreciate when time gets tight on me and I turn to you guys for topics, and you guys never fail to provide. So before I get going with the two questions I'm going to answer today, real quick, please don't forget to go check out my affiliates, Rescue One CBD, 0.000 THC, that third zero matters. Safe for the job, awesome products, cool dude. I've had him on the podcast before, but go check him out. And there's actually a discount code, use code TAILBOARD when you check out for 15% off. And the other relationship we have is with the Fourth Frontier. They have the X2 heart rate monitoring strap, and it is not just another heart rate monitoring strap. It does all the typical stuff plus a little bit more, and then it shows you lead to EKG on the app that they have. So you can do a live check-in if you're wearing the strap. You just hit it, and you can check it, or you record a workout, and then you can go back in the workout and see what your lead to looked like the whole time. It's awesome. I use it a lot. I use it for all my training rides, most of my workouts. I wear it on shift, sometimes overnight, to see the spike in heart rate, and you can actually see the EKG, which just verifies the data. But something cool to look into. There's also a discount code for that. Major discount on that one. So go check that one out on my website and the affiliate links. Third thing, just got an email earlier this afternoon that I submitted an article to Firefighter Nation after speaking with Stephanie White, and she's looking for some outside input. And she just asked me to write an article, and I did. Based it off one of our old episodes, the New Year's resolution one, but got to fill it out a little bit more. And you get to go back and look at it now. So if you go to firefighternation.com and look up the article, it's on the front page now as of when I checked it. It says there's no bad day to start a New Year's resolution. But check it out. Thank you, Stephanie White, for hooking me up with that. And hopefully it goes well, gets good feedback, and I can do more in the future. I mean, that'd be pretty cool, right? So I'd like to say big things happening, exciting things happening. And let's get to these questions, because I think it's going to lead into more exciting things, hopefully. So a couple questions came through. First one was, tell me one thing you want to learn on the job and away from the job this year. And pretty cool question, because it actually made me think about it. We do these annual evaluations, and you have to set three goals. But they're on-the-job goals, right? And it's specific training or specific projects you want to do. But really thinking about something I want to learn on the job and away from it has been, it was cool thinking about that, because admittedly, I took a pretty big break from learning, from outside resources, I should say. It's like attending events, attending training, attending conferences. I kind of started falling off of that, about a year or two before we started having kids. So about 6-7 years ago now. And then the pandemic happened and that was all done. And it's been really hard to get back in it because we got the kids now. And time away is tough. Scheduling is tough. And there's been a lot of excuses why not to do it. But I've definitely felt the pull to get back into learning, like a dedicated effort towards learning. So on the job, what I'm looking to learn, and this is another kind of news thing, is I'm looking to learn my job as a suppression officer, because I just got word a couple days ago that in April, I'll be transitioning from primarily being assigned to an ambulance to now primarily being assigned to a Quint on the west side of town. And that is a major change. I've been on the ambulance now. I'm entering my 16th year. I have entered it. And I'd say easily 14 of those have been either driving an ambulance or in charge of an ambulance since getting promoted. So it's kind of like a dual world, right? Like one day you're on an engine, one day you're back on your ambulance, one day you're on the Quint, then you're back on your ambulance. You might string a few of each together, but you're of like two minds a lot. And I was just talking to the guys the other day because I'm actually going from the ambulance in my house and just sliding right over to the Quint, and that'll be my full-time position. I was running the Quint. About how nice it's going to be just to just bury myself in that Quint and learn everything about it and drill on it and practice with it and get going and learn my district and really dig in, because it's really hard for me personally to do that when you're switching back and forth. You get pretty good at one thing and then you have to mentally switch and be pretty good at this other thing, keep going back and forth. So it kind of prevents you from being 100% in either side. Just me anyways, right? But I'm really looking forward to making that mental switch and being primarily on the suppression piece and assisting the ambulance compared to running the ambulance and then getting moved to the suppression piece. Time's been good since getting promoted. It's easily 60-40 ambulance and suppression, so I'm getting a decent amount of time. And then during holidays or the summer, it was even more like 60-40 on the suppression side. So I've gotten a decent amount of time, but to be 100% fully in it, I'm really looking forward to that. So that's what I'm looking to learn. I'm looking to learn my job. 16 years in, looking to learn my job, which sounds bad, but you know, it's the way it is. I'm excited to do it though. It's something I've been pushing for and driving towards for a long time, and it's a relief. And like I said again, I'm excited to do it and pumped to make that transition. On the personal side and on the business side, so away from the job, I'm really looking forward to learning more about how to make this podcast and the company successful. I was on a pretty sweet incline before the pandemic. That's when it was primarily like, hey, I'm going to go out to stations and run them through workouts, or I'm going to give a two-hour lecture on back and shoulder injury prevention or injury reduction. That was kind of the main offering. It was a fitness-first kind of deal. Since transitioning over to the lifestyle side, just being fourth-shift firefighter and not fourth-shift fitness, I've kind of not struggled, but the deliverable has been more unclear, because I've wanted to do a lot of things, but time is tight. We got the kids. Now Nathan's is going into kindergarten next year. Holy shmoly. He's going into kindergarten, so he'll be in preschool. And so we already, even with those 3 or 4 hours, feel like the world is opening up and the possibilities are endless. And so I'm really excited to see how far I can push this podcast, see how far I can push my impact, and see what we can make this thing. So I'm learning about marketing and advertising, and I have a really good friend helping me with web design and starting to make this thing a thing. I have goals. I have goals of attracting sponsors, more product partnerships, stuff like that. And I'm pumped. I'm pumped to get into it. It's another thing that I was always in it, but I can only devote so much time to it. And now I feel like I have the bandwidth available to get in it. So excited about that. On another personal side, I'm excited to learn, to continue to learn how to be a parent, because dude, it changes every single day with these two. Nathan will be 5 and Sawyer will be 3, both by the end of May. And it's literally like parenting a new child every day at this point. Some days on the really, really awesome side, and some days on the rage filled and unbelievably stressful side. But that learning process is something I'm still excited to do. Kate and I still joke around about the people who post pictures that say like my world, and there's a picture of their kid, and we know that our kids are an absolute terror, and we'll do the same thing, be like, this is my whole heart, and this little angel sitting here, when it's really just, we were 5 minutes ago, we were pulling them through the store, and they were a human duffel bag behind us, human Zambonis, we were dragging them through the store with a tantrum. But I'm excited for that. I'm excited to keep learning, keep growing, and for whatever reason, I feel like the mental space is clearing a little bit. It tends to be a roller coaster, right? So I could be up for a big fall here pretty soon. But knowing that my job is changing a little bit, knowing that Nathan's going to kindergarten next year, I feel like we're at a kind of a turning point in the parenting and the business and everything. So I'm pretty pumped to explore that, man, to get learning again, to see where this thing can go. Now, second question came in, and I really like it because it's a deep topic, but it's a highly specific topic to each department and each person, quite honestly. And the question was from Matt Spade. I can get back to it pretty quickly here. And it says, if you had to pick one form of training, in-house or outside with certifications, which would you choose? And great question, first of all, because there does seem to be in a lot of places the separation between the two, right? And you only get so much support to go to training outside, and there may only be so much training inside. So depending on where you work, one might be the only option, right? If you have very limited training opportunities in your department, you have to go outside to get training experience and reps and hands-on and build your abilities. If you have a really good training division inside, maybe you don't feel the need so much to go outside so often. I'm fortunate that's kind of the camp I'm in. We have a really good training division, really smart guys, really innovative, welcoming to new ideas, highly adaptable. Of course, there's a standard of service that we have, not just a minimum, but like a true standard of execution, performance. Hello. But inside of that, if you meet that and you're willing to go above it or go outside of it to bring new stuff in, they're all about it. So it's a really cool spot. So naturally, I've gravitated towards just really, really trying hard to be a great student and very contributing and productive with our in-house training. But I absolutely do think there's a need for outside training and outside perspective. I wrote down a few pros and cons here of both. So in-house, we have a bunch of pros, right? And the biggest ones I can think of, it's your department and your crews with your situation. Nobody knows your department and your clientele and your crew and your needs and your limitations better than you. And we run into a few cons with outside training in that regard, where in my department, we consider a 24-foot ladder to be a single-person throw all day long. And for a majority of people, maybe even 28-foot is a single-person throw. And I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility. It's 78 pounds or something like that. We should be able to do that single-person with relative ease and showing control. But we've gone to outside trainings before, and we've gotten reports back from guys that have gone to outside trainings where they bring up the single-person throw, and the answer from the instructor is, why would you ever do that? That's dangerous. Just get more people to help you. Well, what if we don't have more people to help us? Like, what if that's not a thing, right? And we've gone to trainings and gone to evolutions where the people putting on assemble 4- and 5-person engine companies to move this hose through the house. We have the officer and the back end guy until more help comes up. So yeah, it's great to have that many people, but it's not really what we'll be doing. Maybe 7-8 minutes in, but not the first 5. So there's definitely some downsides to going outside. But that's also the pro of staying inside, is that you know exactly what you're dealing with. You know the strengths and weaknesses of your crew, your people. You're tailoring the training to your abilities, resource-wise, and also your demographic of your wherever you work, and also the hazards of where you work. So I see a lot of value in in-station, in-house training. Some of the cons of it now is that we're staying in our bubble, right? It can be much, much harder for ideas to penetrate that bubble, and it is very easy to fall into that, like, this is how we've always done it, or when's the last time that happened, or 30 years ago when that happened, this is what I did, and it worked just fine, even though work just fine might have been as a really nice foundation where that building used to be. Maybe that's the only option, I'm just saying, but maybe it could have been better, but we rested on, that's only going to happen once every 50 years, and Billy Bob did it that way 50 years ago, and it was okay, so we'll just do it that way again. So we can have some limitations, some obvious ones, right? Now, when we go to outside training, I already kind of brought up some of the con of that being not applicable to your department, your needs and stuff. But we also have some of the ideas are older. Like, even though you think that if you're going to outside training and you're going to show up to this class and you're learning something new, they might be going over stuff that you guys were past 5-6 years ago. Pushing fire is a great example of that, right? There were still some, and still, I assume there still are some, organizations and individuals who will say that you can push fire, we kind of conquered that thing 7-8 years ago. And so now when we go to a class and they talk about pushing fire, and specifically that, pushing fire, not just pushing the contents or anything like that, or the steam or the smoke, but pushing actual fire and causing extension from a hose line. When we go to that, that kind of brings everything else they're going to teach us into jeopardy in our minds. So that's just one. You might go to an outside training expecting better, and you might get same or lesser than you're accustomed to. So it's a risk, right? The other thing is time is tough. Scheduling is tough. And depending on how much support you get from your department or how much availability they'll give you, it can be a pretty big commitment to go to a 40-hour class, even if it's a hot class, a hands-on training or something like that, or FDIC, some major thing. You still have to schedule 2 to 3 shift days off. You have to find coverage for it. You got to get yourself there. You got to be away from the family. You got to hope it's good, right? Because there's nothing worse than going to an outside training and being let down and you still got 2 or 3 days left. It's pretty tough pill to swallow. So there's a lot of risk in it. And I understand why guys don't run towards it. Of course, there's positives, right? And I can't remember what I started off with here, pros or cons, but some of the pros is that if you are going to an outside training, typically you have a vested or at least a strong interest in that topic, and you're more likely to bring it back to your department, which is nice. The opposite of that is obviously if it's an obligation or you're told you have to go, less buy-in then, obviously, and there's lesser chance of that those lessons making it back. Some of the other pros is that if there are new ideas that you have, going to outside training and seeing a larger organization or a larger presenting body put those on can be the leverage you need to make those viable in your department. So if you have an idea about a specific hose pack that you think should be used in high rise and your administration is really resistant to it, but you go to some hot session at FDIC and they show it and you bring that back from like a verified third party and say, look, this is actually being taught. This is a real thing. Maybe that's what they need to take an actual look at it. So, of course, there's positives and negatives to outside training. Now, I did get an answer from one of my good friends, Kevin, and he said, I'm going to try to remember it here. He said, outside training early in your career and then bring all that stuff back so you can make good inside training later in your career when you're in that position to lead. And I think that's a great answer. And I do think that going to outside training when possibly you have little or no family, you have more time off, you have more money. I think that's a phenomenal way to do it. And then just making sure those ideas stay current as you get further along in your career, you can pass on some of that good stuff, right? If I had to pick one, if I absolutely had to pick one, because that's what the question is, I would, because of my situation and our training division and the resources we have, I would pick in-house training, but with some very particular restrictions put on that. Long time ago in one of these episodes, I brought up the 3 rules we had for training in my old crew, and that was purposeful, practical, and applicable. I'll say those again because I can't get my mouth out of the way. Purposeful, geez Louise, purposeful, practical, and applicable. If it wasn't those 3 things, we probably weren't going to do it. Or if you presented something that wasn't those 3 things, you were not going to have a fun time teaching that. It had to be something that made sense to us, that we're actually going to come in contact with, or there's a relatively high chance that we're going to come in contact with, and then we had to be able to have the tools to mitigate it the way you're teaching. Purposeful, practical, and applicable. If you keep it to those 3 things, you're going to be good. The other piece of advice I'll give you with leading a drill like that, leading an in-house training, whether it's coffee table stuff, tailboard stuff, multi-company training, whatever it is, roll call, don't be afraid to set a time limit on yourself, but man, you better stick to that time limit. Some of the worst trainings I've been to, I shouldn't say worst, some of the more lackluster or frustrating trainings I've been to, in-house, crew stuff, whatever, have been ones that are like, we got to train for an hour today. Just go pick something. We'll run through it. And then that takes 20 minutes. We're like, I don't know. Go pick something else. And we'll just go through that. No direction. All we know is we got to be out there for an hour. Not great. Some of the best trainings I've been a part of where the person said like, we got 20 minutes. We're going to go over cribbing for 20 minutes. Once that 20 minutes is up, if you guys want to keep pulling out stuff and doing stuff, cool. I'm only running a 20-minute drill. Then the official drill's over. You'll still get training time and credit for everything else you do afterwards. But I just got structured for 20 minutes. You go through 20 minutes. Okay, guys, that's it. That's the whole drill I had. If you want to keep going, we can keep going for sure. Like, pull out whatever you want. We'll go whatever. There's more of a chance that someone will say, shouldn't we go over the Rescue 42? And you say, yeah, go grab it. And we can do that. Let them lead, turn over the control to the crew. There's way more of a chance of people doing that than if you just said, just go grab the cutters. Let's just go over them. They can tell you're just throwing stuff at the wall. You have no plan. There's a purpose to it, but not a clear direction in this training. By setting that time limit and sticking to it and saying, that's all I got for today. We'll do more next day. If you guys want to split, go ahead. If you want to stick around, go ahead. That gives them the freedom to choose. You may get some guys that say, yeah, I'm doing this project right now. I had to stop it to come to this training. Can I just go back and start doing it? Yeah, dude, go ahead. My training's over. You gave me what I wanted for today. You may get some people that would be like, nah, I know that was it, but I want to go over this other kind of cribbing setup, and we'll talk about like a dash roll real quick. Yeah, that's free training, led by the crew, which is the absolute best. So just a couple insights on that, right? Keep it purposeful, practical, and applicable, and then don't be afraid to set a time limit, cut it off before it gets like droning on, you're just repeating the same thing over and over again. Turn over the option to the crew and let them run with it. Those are just a couple ways I've seen that worked really, really well. They create buy-in because you're giving them the power now to teach. You're not just dictating them from your ivory tower, right, and telling them what to do. And I suppose that's another point. I was going to wrap this up, but might as well just say it. It kind of plays into the seniority episode we did. Don't ask anybody to do something you're not willing to do as an officer. And if you're going to ask them to do it, even if you're not very good at it, give it a shot. You don't have to like lay yourself out and fail miserably in front of your crew to build buy-in or trust or anything like that. But nobody thinks you're perfect. And nobody thinks that some people think they're perfect. Nobody expects you to be the best at everything. I've gone to trains where I said, like, I'm not so hot at this, but I'm going to give it a shot real quick and I'll go first. And then, you know, it kind of sets the tone of like, okay, well, this isn't a 100% evaluation. We're all just trying to figure this out. And of course, failure isn't great, but a couple of mistakes here and there while still completing the objective is expected. And the goal of training to iron those out. That's where we're supposed to make our mess ups. So we're ready on game day, right? If you can hear this, Sawyer's banging at the door. It's time to go. Dinner's almost ready. Like I said, this has been a packed week, so I'm squeezing this one in before dinner. Thanks for hanging out. Great time to cut it off. Let's all keep it purposeful, practical, and applicable. Let's all keep working on being more capable and durable on the job and away from it. Be a force of firefighter. See you later.